the book of John, the Gospel of John. Thank you, Brother Ben, for that wonderful, wonderful message in that song, Run to Christ. Amen. What a joy. The Gospel of John in your Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you need a Bible, we should have some there in front of you in the pew, or you can look home with someone perhaps. We are so thankful for the work of God in our lives. We are going to take a break from the book of Romans this morning and pick back up in Romans, Lord willing, next Sunday. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring a message along the lines of the theme of our VBS, and that is the light of the world. And this morning's message is entitled this, A Beacon of Hope to a World in Darkness. Again, a beacon of hope to a world in darkness. Aren't you grateful tonight or this morning for the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that shined on your life at some point? You were in darkness at some point, whether you were a small child at the age of 4 or whether you were older in life as an adult. Somebody shined the light of the gospel to your darkness. And my friends, that is exactly what Jesus does. He is the light. And I want to point your attention where He is introduced as the light in the Gospel of John chapter 1. And notice as He's being introduced here, John chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, but our main emphasis will pick up in verse 4. John says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, this is a beautiful portion of Scripture that supports the deity of Jesus Christ. You'll notice some of false teachers such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, then their Bible has that Jesus was a God. But the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, declares clearly that Jesus is indeed God. In verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, notice with me as the theme of light comes in verse 4. In Him, that's Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, speaking of the Jewish people. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Would you pray with me, church? Lord, we do come to you this morning joyful, thankful. Lord, sensing your presence and Lord, being here assembled together in the name of Jesus, knowing that there is great power in that wonderful name. God, knowing that you are here amongst us. And I do pray that as I preach this morning that you would fill me. God, I don't want to get in the way of what you're wanting to do. So Lord, I yield myself to you, a weak man. Oh God, I yield myself to you. And I pray for the listeners. I pray their hearts would be tender and sensitive and that they would allow your Spirit to apply the Word in however way you deem fit. God, thank you for letting us be together. Thank you for the children. Thank you for what you're going to do this week in advance. And we praise you now in Jesus' name. We all pray these things. Amen. A beacon of hope to a world in darkness. That's who Jesus is. And I want to point out several aspects of the light of Jesus Christ. You know, as you noticed on our VBS signs, we have a lighthouse. And by the grace of God, if everything goes well, we're going to have one out in the front lawn. A big one, that is. And it's going to be a symbol of what we want to be, church, spiritually. If you can imagine with me, our church being a lighthouse in a community that is surrounded by darkness. And a church that rises high above the ground, and at the pinnacle there, you have a transparent windows, and you have a light that's going around in 360 degrees, and it's putting off a bright light in every dark corner. That's what we want to be spiritually. We want to proclaim and project the light of the gospel. And you brothers with Neighborhood Bible Time, John Chris and Johnny, and I think of Colton and Ethan, they're going to be shining the light this week. They're going to be proclaiming that light. And then you teachers that are going to be in the classrooms, you're going to be proclaiming the light. It's going to be shining brightly. You workers and volunteers, you bus workers and drivers, all that we're doing, all you there that are praying, we're working on making that light bright so that folks will know there's hope. You know, that's what this world needs. This world needs hope. They're looking for it in every other direction. And may God raise up churches that will stand up and seek to be that hope. And I'll tell you something, folks. In my opinion, I believe that Vacation Bible School is one of the greatest avenues in the local church to be a lighthouse to the community. I mean, we're going out and we are inviting families, inviting children, and people are getting excited. The children come and hear the Word of God. Many will be born again. Families will come and be impacted, and families get born again. Lives get changed, added to the church. And I'm telling you right now, it's a wonderful week of just New Testament Christianity. Think about it with me. What are we doing? We're coming together as a whole church. Everybody's doing something, from snacks, from bus driving, from registration, from maybe putting out a sign, or maybe just being here to greet people. Maybe you're just in a prayer ministry. No matter what, think about it. There's a great unity in the church. We're coming together. We're praying more. We're seeking God's face in the spiritual battle. We're leading people to Christ. The past few years, I've heard a couple testimonies from members in our church that, hey, this is the first time we were able to lead someone to Christ. Some, this is the first time I've done it in a very long time. The ability to counsel and disciple and to encourage. Think about all the ways that God uses a Vacation Bible School. It's truly amazing. It's a light that we're seeking to shine. Now I realize, and you realize, that many do not like the light in this world. I'm reminded of that illustration that it paints a vivid picture of that. And you've probably heard it before. But it was a captain of a ship that looked into the dark night and saw faint lights in the distance. And immediately he told the signalman to send a message. And the message was, alter your course 10 degrees south. And promptly a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon after the message received, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear it would evoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. You see, brethren, and that's the way a lot of the world is. Jesus Christ is shining His light, and people are wanting to reject that light, refusing to submit to the word of that light. And Jesus is using people like you and people like me and churches like us to shine that light and say, alter your course before it's eternally too late. Because Jesus Christ is the true light. And when men respond to that light, they save their lives. God saves their lives for all eternity. And what you and I have to make sure we're understanding about the light of the world is it begins and ends, of course, with the power of the light of Jesus Christ Himself. Let me give you several points here this morning. If you're taking notes, I want us to look at several aspects of the light. Number one, I want to look at the identity of the light. The identity of the light. Who is this light? This light is Christ. His name is Jesus. I love the choir song and the congregation that we sang together. And you notice it there in verse 4. I'm not going to read the passage again. But it says that the life of Christ was... Notice the next four words in verse 4. It says what? He was the what? Light of men. That's speaking generally there, men of all people, the human race. He is the light. He is the light that shines in darkness. And many comprehended it not. And we'll see why they didn't comprehend it. But I love the very fact that it says here in verse 9 that Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see, we've talked about that in Romans. You understand, God has revealed Himself through creation. God has revealed Himself through the conscience of mankind. Well, that's what sets us apart from the rest of the creation. We are able to communicate with God in the sense of knowing Him, having a personal relationship with Him. Isn't that amazing that the Creator allows us to have a personal relationship with Him? That's humbling. Almighty God. He's the true light. He's reality. And folks, as we think upon our mission here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, as you think of the mission of your home, may you never lose the understanding that the light of Christ is the hope of this world. And we desire to be a lighthouse here in this rural area of South Jackson, this place here. But you know, there's something else to be said about that. Yes, we desire to be a light here, but really, when you think about it, we meet here three times a week. And the light is not to go out, not to be extinguished, but the light is to go out as being sent out. You are the light. We gather here Sundays, Wednesdays, and special occasions, but then we go out as little lights bearing that light. And that brings me to my next point. We see the believers of the light who have received the light. In verse 12, as many as received this light were given power, authority to be called the sons of God, the children of God. You know, when I was born, a lot of people don't realize this, but Brinson is not my real name. It's a nickname. My full name is Thomas Brent Jennings Jr. But my dad, when I was born, he said, my name's Brent, and this is my son, and my only son. It wasn't his only son. My stepbrother, of course, he looked at him as his own son as well. But this is my son. I'm going to call him Brent's son, and they just dropped the T and called me Brinson. But my last name, Jennings, that's my family name. And you know, as I grew up, I have the authority or the right to be called the son of Brent, to be a Jennings. And I'm thankful for that. There were times that, of course, we all can relate to this. We all have things in our family that we're not exactly proud of, perhaps. I mean, every one of us can, can't we? We have some things we're not so proud of, but you know one thing I'm thankful. I was thankful to be a Jennings. was thankful for my dad. I was thankful for my mom. I was thankful for how they loved me. And I had the authority to do that because they brought me up in this life. And you know, when I was born again, back in 2002, I got a new father who was perfect and righteous. As much as I respect my dad who's in heaven now, he could never be my heavenly father. My heavenly father is gloriously perfect and pure and lovely and loving and gracious and compassionate and just and pure. He is a wonderful father. And when I got born again in 2002, I now have the power and the authority to call him anytime Daddy. Father. Dad in glory. The Most High God. I have that authority. Because I responded to the light of Jesus Christ. And when you responded to the light, you too became a child of God. A child of the Creator. And I'm telling you right now, I believe with all my heart, there will be young people who under the preaching of the Word of God will walk down this aisle this week to the back to inquire about how can I become a child of God. There will be young people who will step into eternity with eternal life, who will step into the realm of having eternal life. Because listen, remember this, folks. Eternal life does not start when you die. It starts at the moment of salvation. It is given. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friends, I want to tell you, those that respond to the light, they become the children of God. Notice, there will be some that will not respond. Notice over in John chapter 3 with me for a moment. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, one of the most familiar verses in the Word of God. In John 3:16, we see the message of God's love. So He so loved the world. How did He demonstrate this love? How did He prove this love? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is found that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, if you don't see the love of God somehow or another, you are not casting your gaze at Calvary. Because you will see the love of God demonstrated there on that cross. So we see that it was the love of God, and it's to all that will believe. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you, anybody can become a child of God that'll come to Him by faith. There are some that would teach that God preordained and pre-elected some to heaven and some to hell. So some people, they teach that some people that are roaming around this earth don't even have a choice. They couldn't get saved if they wanted to. But that's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that whosoever believeth. Whosoever. That means anybody has the capacity to believe. If you have the capacity to reject, I believe God has given you the capacity to receive. And that's why we are all about the gospel here at Crooked Creek Baptist. That's why we believe in being evangelistic. John Chris will be preaching the gospel this week. He believes in the power of the gospel. We believe it, and we're going to see the power of it. But notice there will be some that will reject. As you notice, as you go on and read down the passage, notice what it says. And verse number 18 is, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is indeed the unpardonable sin, ladies and gentlemen. You say, what is it? It's the sin of unbelief. If you die rejecting the gospel, there's no forgiveness. But if you will believe, there's no condemnation. If you'll receive the gospel that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day, that, my friends, is eternal life. But notice what it goes on to say there in chapter 3. It says, and this is the condemnation. Now get it in verse 19. That what? Y'all look with me there. John chapter 3 verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. That's Jesus. But here's the issue. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I heard it said once before, people do not find Jesus Christ the same reason bank robbers are not finding police. It's because they don't want to be revealed for who they really are. But God is saying, come to me. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's the message of God to a cursed humanity who is lost in darkness, who loves this darkness. God brings that conviction upon the human heart that something isn't right here. And I'm so thankful. And I've had the opportunity to see people bow their hearts before God and realize it's that I'm still in darkness and I'm ready to open myself up to the gospel light and be saved. That's what we'll see happen here this week. You see, notice verse 21. But he that doeth truth does what? Cometh to the light. That his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This work of the light of God is a work of God. And that brings me to my next point. Where do we come in the picture? Because someone may say, well, hey, God's got this. He's the light. Well, in His sovereign plan, ladies and gentlemen, God has done something most miraculous, something most amazing, something most humbling to people like you and me. You know what He did? He says, and I'm going to call you and I'm going to ordain you to be bearers of the light. And that's point number three. We see the identity of the light. Number two, we see the believers of the light. But thirdly, we see the bearers of the light. And that is all believers. Notice back in John chapter 1 verse 7, back when Jesus was introduced. Notice with me there. John chapter 1 verse 7. The Bible says here, talking about John the Baptist, he says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, I want you to notice that phrase right there, that all men through him might believe. That is speaking of what we would term intermediate agency. It's talking about that through John the Baptist and through him bearing witness of the light, those men would be saved. And so he is not the light, because John even describes even more clearly in the next verse that Jesus was the true light, not John. But he was called to bear witness. John was that one that stood between a dark world and the light of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, can I please ask you to just open your heart up to this truth. You have been called to be that in-between person between a dark and dying world and the light of the world. And what you are doing to a lost and dying world in the ministry of reconciliation, you are simply shining people, your light to people so they can go to Christ. You're pointing the light and shining the light to Calvary. That's the way. Alter your course. You're going this direction. You need to be going that direction, the way of the cross. You're bearing witness through Him. Can I ask you something here as a believer? Have you ever had the privilege of leading someone to Christ? Now please bear with me here. Because the Lord knows my heart. If you've never had that opportunity, let me ask it of this way. Have you ever prayed for the opportunity? Or I could ask it this way. Have you ever looked for the opportunity? God is wanting you to be that intermediate agency, that intermediate in between, to point people to the cross of Christ Jesus. And you say, I've never had the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, but perhaps you could say this, I know that I've planted a lot of seeds, and I want to tell you, praise the Lord. Because that's a part of it too. The Bible says one plants, Paul said the other one waters, and then it's God that gives the increase. But my plea with you, ladies and gentlemen, you may just be a few months old in the Lord. You may have just come to Christ recently. Or you may be mature in the Lord for several years or many years. Regardless of where you're at in life, can I please plead with you? Let it be your life goal daily and weekly to try to point people to Calvary. Get a burden for souls, because God has called you to be a light bearer, to be a witness of the true light. The light of Christ. You see, Jesus even gave John the Baptist a sterling testimony in John chapter 5, verse 35. You don't need to turn there. But he says, he was a burning and shining light. Oh, wow. Boy, wouldn't that just be a good testimony to have from the Lord Jesus? To look down and say, oh, that one right there at Crooked Creek Baptist, that one right there, that one's a burning and shining light for me. Are you a light bearer? That's why Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, if you're truly living out your Christianity, you will not be hid. People are going to see you for who you are, and that's a good thing. You will not be able to hide that. It's a glorious thing. It does not make you arrogant or prideful. It just simply, you are living the life of Christ out and through you. Sometimes people will say, good job. And some people will say, you're an idiot. You get it both ways. But the fact of the matter is, we don't live for the applause of man. We live for the glory of God. And that's where we have to be bearers of light. I like what D.L. Moody once said. He said, a holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. They just shine. And our lives are going to back up what we tell people about the true light. In 2002, when I got born again, I can't explain it with human words. I just know this is something that has come to my mind for me to use to be able to try to paint a little bit of a picture of what happened to me when I got born again. But this is what I like to relate it to. When I got born again, it's like a light came on inside of me. It did. I was in darkness. I really was. I mean, I was living life for my flesh and pleasure. I mean, I was doing things and I was having fun that were for a season. But folks, I'm here to tell you, when I got born again, and I hope you have the same testimony, that look, when you receive the light, a light really does come on. It does. It'll light you up inside and you look at the world differently. You look at the reality of life. It just opens up and it's amazing. Now, there are days when it's not like that. But I want to tell you right now, that is because of my fault, not God's fault. But when I got saved, and I tell you, it was just beautiful. A light came on. I've never looked at life the same since. I have failed my God many times. He's been forgiving every time. But folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people out there still in darkness. Many people. I'm looking through, thinking through names right now, my own family. I'm thinking about millions around the world in China and India. I'm thinking about the ones around here in Jackson County and down the road to Athens, Clark County. They're still in darkness. They're still in darkness. What are we going to do? We're going to bear witness. We're going to be light bearers. I believe we are. Bear witness of that light. And they may come, they may run from it, they may come to it, but I'm telling you, either way, there will be ones that come to it. Just at the gas station, just a week ago today, in fact, and I had just preached on Epaphroditus and just being a fellow soldier and being tough and not cowering. And I went by the arcade gas station and liquor store, and there's always people hanging out, and I'm usually making excuses why I can't stop that moment and I need to get home and things, but couldn't do it this time. Went over there, and a few guys that were doing some construction, they took gospel tracts, but they didn't really have anything else to say. Then I walked down to the bench. Our young man sat. And folks, I can't make this stuff up. But as I was sitting there talking to him, I could tell he was getting under conviction. I could tell God was dealing with him. And as I was sharing my testimony with him and the gospel with him, there was a man that came up behind me, and I could not believe who it was. It was Brother Terry, who had gotten saved back in April. He walked up behind me, and I said, "Terry!" And I looked at this young man. I said, "Terry just got saved a few weeks ago. Terry, would you tell this man how you got saved?" And Terry did. Terry shared with him. This man, young man, broke down in tears. And he stood up and said, "I'm going to church with you." He came here to the church, and we met in our room, and he had heard the gospel before, and he just had some tough times in life as a young man in his early 20s. Bowed his knee and called out to God to be born again. And we've been talking, and he's making some good decisions for the Lord. But I'm telling you, folks, I don't take any credit for that. So many times I have passed that store when I could have done it again and again and again. So I'm not taking any credit or glory here. By the grace of God, I'm just learning something from this situation. And daily, folks, there are people out there in darkness that need you to speak a word of hope. To take the time to utter that word of encouragement, that invitation to church. How can I pray for you? How can I be a blessing, a spiritual blessing? Oh, folks, you hear what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to be the bearers of the light. And in closing, let me share with you the opposite of the light. The opposite of light is what, church? Darkness. Do you know who the power and king and prince of darkness is? Satan. The Bible says it. In Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against," get it, "the rulers of darkness in this world." Get it? Rulers of darkness. He is over darkness, and he is seeking to dim the light of believers. He's seeking to blind people, lost people, to the light of the gospel. We know that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to which are lost. But unless the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. You see, there is a darkness. But one thing we know for sure, according to the Word of God, you know that as powerful as darkness can be, it can never, ever, 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 and let me say another time, ever overcome the light of Jesus. It's an impossibility. That light will not be overcome. In verse 5 of John chapter 1, it says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness cannot override the light of Jesus Christ. It may reject it, but it cannot overcome it. One of the things that can happen is the light cannot be overcome, but it can be dimmed. And as God is the light and Satan is the power of darkness, we see that there is a battle there. And so where we have to stand today and this morning is that we're going to stand as children of light. We're going to determine in our minds this week, no matter how tired we get, no matter how hard the spiritual battle gets, we are not going to let Satan dim our lights. One brother that I read wrote an illustration on the power of light. He said this, "If you let the light of Christ shine through you, the darkness cannot overcome it." He said, "It doesn't matter how much horrific evil the darkness tries to conjure up. The light, the capital L, the light will always win against the darkness. Always, no exceptions." He goes on to say, "The human eye can see a single photon shining through absolute darkness." He said, "It takes just one quanta of light energy to overcome the darkness. And no amount of darkness can overcome even one quanta of light energy." He says, "An infinite blanket of darkness can attempt to block a photon, but one photon will still wins against infinite darkness." He says, "If darkness seems to be winning, it's because we're not letting the light of Christ shine through us." He said, "Don't blame the darkness. Blame those who would cover up the light." So, ladies and gentlemen, we as light bearers have an awesome responsibility to go out and let that light shine. What is it that's dimming your light this morning? Is it a bad attitude? Is it a spirit of anxiety? Indifference? Is it something you're letting come through a screen? Either on your phone or in your living room? What kind of darkness is in your home or in your life that is dimming your light? What kind of friends are dimming the light instead of building the light? What is it in your life, in my life, that is dimming? And I want to tell you right now, you need to address that and repent and say, "God, I don't want to be dim. I want to be bright. I don't want anything to take away that awesome responsibility of being a light bearer." I heard the illustration that a lighthouse along a bleak coast was tended by a keeper who was given enough oil to keep the lighthouse burning for 1 month. He told him the light would be enough to keep the light burning every night. Well, one day a woman asked for oil so that her children could stay warm. Then a farmer came. His son needed oil for a lamp so he could read. Still another needed some for an engine. The keeper saw each as a worthy request and measured out just enough oil to satisfy all. Near the end of the month, the tank in the lighthouse ran dry. The night the beacon was dark and three ships crashed on the rocks. More than 100 lives were lost. When a government official investigated, the man explained what he had done and why. "You were given one task alone," insisted the official. "It was to keep the light burning. Everything else was secondary. There is no defense," is what he said. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that the number one priority of your life and my life, no exceptions, no defense, is to shine that light every moment of every day of your life. The light of the world is Jesus. Would you pray with me?